Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody there?
Yes, I'm waiting for the song to start for some reason. The man.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private. Laughter hides their silent cry. Only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need.
Good evening, everyone. You are listening to Eloquently Speaking Open Mic, and this is Stacey Lunsford, your host for the night. And my co-host is Christian Starr. And our featured guest tonight is Tim O'Brien. And before I give the mic over to let everyone say good evening, the song that we just finished listening to was People Need the Lord by Steve Green. And that was that song was requested by Tim O'Brien. And I love the song. It's a beautiful song. And people need the Lord today. And it's such a just such a sweet, sweet spirit on that song. And I just pray that you were blessed by it. But Christian and Tim, how are you both this evening? Thank you so much for joining.
Praise God.
Amen. Well, tonight we are going to talk about his coffee house. And Tim is going to share his story about the coffee house and his upcoming trip where he's going to Asia Pacific in January to start the coffee house. So, Tim, tell us about his coffee house and how you ended up in this particular part of the country to share his coffee.
Well, it's been a very, very interesting journey. I've got a little backtrack. I've got 35 years of culinary experience, as well as a call to go into missions. And in the last year and a half, I was talking with other friends who are out in that region of the country doing various missionary work. And I asked this one friend about possibly going out and helping them in their projects where they're at. And that particular field closed to me. And what ended up happening was I went to church the following week, Sunday. My boss had given me the day off, and in come these missionaries at church. I could spot them a mile away. Now the people following Jesus, you kind of just kind of know who they are. And I asked, oh, where are they from? And I found out they were from the same country as my friend. And inadvertently, during a staff prayer meeting, the devotion for that morning was at church, was taking your gifts and using them in whatever season God has you. And it was almost like God was hitting you over the head to get my attention. And as I was sitting in that service, God said to me, will you go and will you trust me? And I hadn't a clue of where he was sending me. All I knew, he was calling me, and I said yes. Then in the course of a week, I was talking with my friend's parents, who are also missionaries in another sensitive country. And they mentioned to me about this region that I'm going to and how the missionaries there were having such a horrible time training their cooks at this coffee house that uses both food and teaching English to share the gospel, as well as open up doors to work alongside the national church. And many of the young people were frying eggs in half an inch of oil. In other words, they needed some help. And so God led me to go there for 21 days. And it was an incredible experience being able to train these young Buddhist people. Where I'm going is a country that is 80% Buddhist. 95% of the country is lost without Jesus. And so many of the workers were Buddhists, and we would tell them when they are hired that they would pray every day and they would hear God's word. And so we were building relationships there. And I was having fun teaching them to make crepes, cheesecake, a whole host of other things, as well as time management skills in the kitchen. As well as going off and helping out at churches and children's ministry and a few other things while I was there.
Okay.
And that is in the gist of what I'm going, what God has called me to do.
Well, I want to just give.
Go ahead. I want to have
I'm sorry.
You interject.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Say what you was going
to
say, and then I'll just do that little part.
The other part of the whole equation is how the Lord actually called me there. I had gotten there my third day there. I was talking to the owner of a bed and breakfast where I was staying, and this person had been in a relationship with another business person previously, and they ended up trying to commit suicide several times after this person left them. And then there were accidents upon accidents this person had happened to them. And in the meantime, even in the last year and a half, survived a plane wreck. And God was speaking to my heart. He said, Tim, share my love. This person's been saved for a purpose. And I said, yes, Lord, on Sundays for church. And the morning's message happened to be out of John chapter 4, where the story of Jesus and the woman at the well was. And where Jesus goes and asks this woman for a cup of water, and this woman goes and says, who are you? You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why should I give you a drink? Why should I even talk to you? And Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, asked me, and I would have given you living water. And the story goes on how the woman mocked him and said, well, you don't have a rope. This greater than our father Jacob. And then Jesus says, he who drinks from this water will thirst again, but he who drinks from the water I give will never thirst again. In fact, that water will well up into eternal life. And that morning, God started giving me a glimpse of his heart for this people.
Amen.
I walked by a Buddha statue later that night at the home I was staying in. And in Buddhism, it is very much a merit-orientated religion where you have to earn earn heaven. There's no concept of a savior. There's no concept of a Lord over your life, of a God who cares for you and loves you. And I was walking by the statue, and in front of it's 5 jars of water, which they pull over the statue as a way of earning merit. And the Lord said these words to me, Tim, I am the water of life. And these people are pouring water on a dead aisle. Tell them of my truth. Tell them of my love. Tim, you tell them. All I could do is say yes, Stacy and Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I'm going back.
Amen. And for those of you that are listening, this is Eloquently Speaking Open Mic, and our featured guest is Tim O'Brien. And he's sharing a little bit of his story with us. And I'm just going to read a little bit of his background. Tim is going to the region of Asia Pacific, where he is involved in his coffee house. The coffee house uses food and teaching English to build relationships. And Tim will work with the church there with teaching and training church planters, helping at the community outreach center, and he will be working with the children at Teen Challenge. Now, Tim, I know you have an upcoming dinner that's going to take place at Blue Mountain Christian Retreat. Can you tell us about this event and your special guest that you're going to have?
Yes. Here at Blue Mountain Christian Retreat in New Ringgold, Pennsylvania, I'm having a special fundraising dinner to help send me to Myanmar. It's at 5 o'clock on October 12th. And the menu for tonight is going to be basically barbecued pulled pork. We're going to have a stuffed chicken breast with rice and spinach and baked potato. corn, green beans, salad, and also I'm going to have ice cream-filled crepes. But the food aside, it's going to be a wonderful night. We've got many people of many different nationalities coming. We have a special event at 7 o'clock by a group called Praise. They are missionary singers from the Philippines, and their primary focus is to reach the dispersed Filipinos around the world, as well as reaching other nations with the gospel through the word and song. And it's going to be a wonderful night. I have a personal link with Praise for I had actually had been able to mentor one of the young people in that group for 7 years and had seen God's call on them, and seeing them go forward into ministry has been a blessing to me to personally watch. And they're very anointed singers, lovely people, and it's going to be a wonderful night, both with the meal and the concert.
And what's the? Could you give the address, the contact information, information for those that wanna? Okay.
Blue Mountain Christian Retreat is on one Christian Lane in New Ringgold, Pennsylvania, 17960. For any information, you can go to bmcr.org, or you can call their number. At 570-386-2154. And my contact information, of course, is 484-268-4994. For anybody who wants to have interest in this and supporting me and or even coming to the event. And I need to have reservations by October 4th.
So for those of you that are listening, go ahead, Christian.
I'm sorry?
Well, I said I wish I was in the area so that I could attend.
I'm sorry?
No, I said I wish I was in the area so that I could attend.
I wish you could be too. Unfortunately, not everybody can. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've had some Filipino churches already asked to come, and some Hispanic churches, African-American, you name it. It seems it's going to be a wonderful multicultural event, too, and seeing Christ's unity and among different believers from varied backgrounds. It's going to be a wonderful night. I do want to say one thing, Stacy and Christian. One of my one part of my story is, and I try to encourage those who are in the church, actually anybody, that God can use them no matter what their gifts are or lack thereof. I grew up with cerebral palsy. I grew up hearing things like Tim might be able to throw a ball straight but never be able to write his name. God's hand has been on my life since before I was born, and I gave my heart to him at the age of 10. Jesus has healed me over and over again, supernaturally, spiritually, emotionally. I'm not worthy of the call that God has given me, but I know the power of my Savior and my Lord, and I know his love. Now, it's funny to think that God uses our trades to go into places where the gospel can't get in easily. You know, think of missionaries like William Carey. He was a cobbler. Paul, the apostle, was a tent maker. Well, God's using a cook. And I'm very humbled by that. Anybody have any questions, feel free to ask.
One thing I wanted to chime in on is this, this motif of cooking and food bringing people together. You know, in the Bible, one of the first miracles Jesus performs is turning water to wine at a wedding. And then when the covenant is established, we have the Last Supper before Jesus dies, but the First Communion is partaken of. And I find this motif of food, you know, the woman that was destitute with her son, and the prophet told her to, you know, feed him first, and she basically told him she was going to make a cake for her and her son and die. Just this motif, this theme of food bringing people together. And so I find it to be, you know, just God showing us his principles and his way in each generation with each new group of people. Now you're going, you know, overseas and you're cooking, you know, you're teaching. And then even in that, showing people through your actions, through the process of that, you know, the patience of God, the goodness of God, the care of God. Because, you know, in New Orleans, we truly believe that you put your heart and your soul, your foot and everything into your meal when you're cooking. And so I just find that to be an amazing trait that's being used. And I wanted to hear you expound some on the fact that of all the things you could be going do, this is the area that God is using it.
Yeah. It's funny. I over the years, I've been my background and how the Lord has worked within even the realm of food service. I went to Bible college, studied all 5 years to be a missionary. And I cooked all 5 years to support myself. And it's been amazing to see the road he's taken me on in Christian camping, working at colleges, even in Belgium. I was in missions there. And it's just, it's interesting how God opens the doors in his season and in his timing. And if we fall with our whole heart, he uses every bit of us for his glory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we're going to, Christian, did you have some more questions for him?
Say that again.
I was asking questions.
What was being said. But yeah, I really just think that this is a powerful trade. I've just seen people minister to in suppers, people minister to when we're feeding the homeless and we're feeding the poor. Minister to when we take the time to, it's like there's two ways to stay alive. It's feeding spiritually and feeding mentally.
Yes.
You know, and so you have to feed the body, you know, and then you have to feed the soul. And so that's just something that's so resonated with me, and I just find it, God is awesome in taking you into a place whereby his light really does need to be shed. And of all the things you could be going to do, you know, you're going to be feeding people. And though they may eat, and their stomachs will be full and their palates will be great, they're going to be eating more than one kind of food.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's just amazing. We will prosper and be in health as our soul prosper. And as they're eating food to sustain this earthly body that God has given us, their soul is being fed, and that's prospering. And as that prospers, their body will prosper, their life will prosper. You know, they will see health in different areas where there wasn't health, healing in places where there was no healing, deliverance in areas where there was bondage. And all of this came from, you know, you being humble and willing to say, Lord, here am I, use me. I will, you know, you can use me to feed these people. And so I just find it to be a really dynamic work.
Yes.
you know, it takes one of the things about when God, and God calls us, he enables us and equips us for the task. He also puts us around people who will support us in ministry and doing the work. And that's one of the blessings I have in going, going through the Assemblies of God. And I've got a great team of people to work with. And we are, you know, there's so many different fronts. We've got a community outreach center that is working to reach the people by going through and working with the children and changing families. And there's Bible teaching going on. As a matter of fact, as last I knew, we were even starting to build a kitchen. And doing other things, we've had medical teams over in that area helping out. And it just opens the door for people to listen and ask questions. In this particular area, it takes years for people sometimes to give their hearts to Jesus after they've heard the gospel hundreds of times. I know a personal friend of mine who I love very dearly. He's a worker for missionaries there and helps them get around from place to place. Well, after 5 years or so, he finally gave his heart to Jesus. And you just don't, you know, just by living it, living out our lives, wherever we are at, whether it be here in the United States or abroad, allowing God to work through us and use us.
Amen. Well, Tim, I thank you so much for taking the time to share your story with us. I'm going to go to the board and see if we have any callers on the line. And for those that are listening, I know we have some people that are just listening through the internet. Well, God bless you. And for those that are actually on the phone, if you would like to speak with Tim and join this roundtable discussion, please press #1 on your phone, and we'll be more than happy to place you on the mic. And at this time, I'm going to read a little bit of Tim's background, and then we'll go back into because this is going to be an interview. Like, we'll ask him a couple of questions, but we're also going to highlight some of his biography throughout the show. And Tim will also be giving his contact information again for those of you who did not receive it. And we're also going to give an opportunity. Tim is going to give an opportunity to introduce Jesus to anybody that's listening to this broadcast that Amen. Does not know him as Lord and personal Savior. And this world is in such need of love. And God loved us so much. John 3:16 tells us that God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And we love you at Eloquently Speaking Open Mic. And Tim loves you. And tonight we just want to make sure that, you know, if you have any questions, if you have a prayer request, please don't hesitate to press #1 and present your request to us. And we will pray with you and we will answer any questions you may have. So as we talk about Tim, Tim was born June 9th, 1964, the beginning, in Methuen, Massachusetts. God's hand has been on Tim since before he was born. His mother carried him in her womb, and she had the German measles, which she did not know at the time until she went to the doctor. And around that time, many people died or they were born with birth defects. And Tim grew up with a mild case of cerebral palsy and other birth defects.
And the doctors would say, Tim might throw a ball straight, but never write his name. And the doctors would say, Tim would have the mentality of a seven-year-old the rest of his life. But with God's help from his family, he is here today. And Tim can throw a ball straight, and Tim can write his name, and Tim is not a seven-year-old for the rest of his life because he is a mature adult that is doing awesome things for God. And you hear the excitement in my voice because that is a testimony in itself. The doctors will always say what they can say based on what they know, what the medical records say. But we believe the report of the Lord. And the report of the Lord says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I believe that because Tim had a praying mother that rejected the report of the doctors. Now, don't misunderstand me. She did what she needed to do to protect her Tim. But I know she went to God and stood in intercessory prayer for her son. So if you're listening tonight, what did you get from what I just shared with you? What are you going through? What have the doctors said to you? Don't believe the report of the doctors. Believe the report of the Lord. And in order to believe God, you have to be in agreement with what God says. And Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they agree? So, Tim, I'm going to just pull you right in right there because I'm excited right now. And I thank God for his hand that is strong upon you and that even though you went through some things as a young child, that you are victorious and you are that more than conqueror and you are that overcomer. And now God is raising you up for this time in your life where you're going to a whole nother country. That is amazing. I so wish we could, like, do an interview with the doctors that Amen. Told your mother that you would never write your name. Let's give God some praise.
God is so good. Stacy, Christian, everybody, I shouldn't be walking or breathing or anything today. If it wasn't for the hand of God, I would be dead. Even growing up out of a broken home, and a whole host of other issues that I had growing up. Jesus has healed me of those things of the past. About 10, 13 years ago, I had an accident, and it put me back to what it was like as a child, hunched over and walking on my toes. And it was so bad. I remember going to a church. And this is for those of you who are struggling physically and need a healing touch. I want to encourage you. He still feels today. I was hurting so bad, my legs were actually bowing. I went to the church that morning, got into a Sunday school room, and the service was going on. And the men of the church heard what was going on, and they came, and they prayed and laid their hands on me. God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, flooded that room. And he literally straightened me out. And I was able to walk totally straight out into the sanctuary with the men, praising God.
Amen.
God can touch you where you're at. If you've got things in your past that are holding you back, God can heal you of those hurts. Those scars, if you were abused, God can take that pain away. If you've been told that you're no good, God can help you have a proper mindset. Because in Scripture it says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And many of us Christians don't really believe that, but you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God loves you with an everlasting love. And what's to use you in a unique way.
Yes, yes, yes. I can so relate to that.
You know, we and so many people are like Gideon. They're hiding in a wine press, threshing wheat, because somebody else is going to take their wheat away from them. And then you have the angel of the Lord come up and say, "Greetings, mighty warrior." And then Gideon goes, "Who are you talking to, me?" God
mm-hmm.
wants to use each one of us. Because God uses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. He uses that which man looks down upon.
That's nice.
To bring him glory and honor. And yes, finding Jesus at the age of 10 was the most exciting thing in my life. And it still is, because I remember the day. I remember the place. It was Faith Farm Ministries in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I gave my heart to the Lord after seeing my mother change after watching Billy Graham on TV. And I haven't regretted that decision.
Well,
I'm sorry.
You know, no, that's fine. But right there, I just wanted to jump in. So how does your family feel about you relocating or, you know, taking this journey to Asia and Pacific?
Well, it is a struggle. It's a cost to following Jesus. My mother supports me. I'm not sure about the rest of the family as far as my going, because they're concerned. Humanly speaking, they're concerned for Tim. But it's also, you know, for me, I look at it, I have to follow where Jesus leads, and it's part of the call and part of the cost in following Jesus. You know, I mean, even the Lord says, you know, unless you're willing to leave your family, this, you can't follow me. But if you do, what does Jesus promise? I will give you fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters in this life and more in the life to come. And that sense of my life in following Christ, I've had that. I've had so many dear people become my brothers, my sisters, my fathers, my mothers. In a very real way. But I love my family, my real family, very, very much. And my desire is that they would come to know him. Anything else?
And I think, you know, in all of our lives, we all have family members that don't know him, and we want them to come to know him. I mean, those we come in contact with, as we let our light shine, and, you know, we don't have to be all preachy all of the time. Sometimes it's just in sharing a kind word. And in your case, sharing some brownies or some of those crepes that you fixed in. Look.
And she'll have you put her
I
on
can
a,
use
you know,
a
she
good,
will have
yes.
them. She likes food.
Crepes
she will have you send
crepes,
them.
Crepes are deadly. Don't want to eat them. Nope. My favorite one, I had learned to make crepes when I was in Belgium serving at a seminary as a cook. And all the French students would make them as a social thing. And they would put a stack about 2 inches high with all the condiments on the table and we would eat them. Well, I've taken that thing as a social ice-breaking thing in many places that I've gone to. And it was really a treat in this whole area, I was able to take crepes, and we would have conversational English classes, and we would bring out some crepes and let them sample them at his cup. And it was funny to see their reactions. They loved them. And so much, I was talking with one of the other people by the name of Poo Poo, and she said, "Could you teach us how to make these?" And I go, "Would you like it as part of an English class?" And their eyes get big and they're smiling and they go, "Oh, I think I found a good idea." So one thing I'll be doing is developing English classes using cooking.
Amazing. I love it.
There is a question I do want to ask.
Yes.
With the nation you're going to, its dominant religion is Buddhism. And one thing I was talking to you about in discussion is I was taught how to meditate from an Orthodox Buddhist. And it really did elevate my Christian life as far as, you know, when the Bible says to meditate on the word day and night. It can be an interesting task to try to focus on one particular thing. But I learned that from a Buddhist. And I realized that outside of the salvation and knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, their practice is very conducive to Christianity. So could you talk to us some about Buddhism and your experience with seeing it? Because, like I said, my experience with them here in the U.S., Asian Buddhists, is that they taught me meditation and how to steal that place. And it seems to be a gift that some of them as a people have.
Well, I'll tell you from what I experienced. In Buddhism, is Buddha himself was a good man. His teachings, you know, he was a wealthy prince who saw the plight of humanity and tried to find a way out of the plight of life and finding afterlife too. And many Buddhists are hardworking, sincere. It is very much a works oriented religion where you have to make it on your own steam. You have to get eternity by doing gaining merit for yourself. It's really what it is. And of course, they can never have any certainty of eternity. So the only way you can be truly certain of eternity is through knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And yes, there's plenty to learn from them. They are sincerely wonderful. They're honest. Where I'm going, I have really no fear of people trying to steal something. They'd rather return it back to you. But on the same token, there's a lot of contradictions. Where I'm going, there is much sex trafficking going on. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of drug use in that country. It's a different mindset. And, you know, somebody might be hit by a car and their body will be left in the street for a day or so before somebody comes and picks it up.
Right.
Where I'm going is to be in that country is to be Buddhist. So it's very, very part of the culture. Many people I know, and this was explained to me by a friend of mine who is a new believer and growing in the Lord, but they don't go to church per se. You don't congregate together. You go to the temples by yourself pretty much. And in this country, there's no beggars. The only ones who beg, how I view the culture where I'm going to. Go ahead, ask questions.
Well, the reason I was asking is because I know that I really believe that the spirituality of Christianity will be a blessing. I mean, right now, in those highly populated places, it's sad that it's happening all over the world. You know, drug abuse, sex trafficking, child trafficking, the, you know, enslavement of people being stolen and kidnapped. The laundry list of deplorable behavior is miles and miles long. I just wonder sometimes, you know, in the Christian faith, one thing me and Stacy always talk about is people need to read their Bible for themselves. And they need to come to know the Lord Jesus for themselves versus just listening to what others tell them. And with Buddhism, in my study of it, it's not a religion. And even Buddha stated that people should not believe his teachings out of faith. He wasn't a religious man. It was more looking for a philosophy of how to handle things. And that leaves a void. You know what I'm saying? Since there's not a congregation, it's not a coming together. There's no central deity as we have the Lord and Savior that brings everybody together.
In fact, you'll find this particular quote from Buddha himself goes like something like this: "Don't worship me, seek God."
Exactly.
You know, and but yet they venerate and all pretty much worship Buddha.
Right, and it's just like, do you? Because I've met a gentleman at the University of Houston, and he was clear. He said, my belief system is Christianity.
Yeah.
My philosophy is Buddhist. He shocked us in the class. He was like, how did you couple that together? He said, I'm a Christian. Buddhism is not a religion. There is no, you know, he said, just like you, when you sang the prayer of salvation in Romans 10:9, he said, that doesn't exist here. And if a person really studied Buddhism, he tells you this is not a religion. This is a principle-driven practice. This is a culture. And he said, you know, and he lined it up for us, just as you have Black culture, Southern culture, you know, European culture. He said, these are cultures, and this is not a religion. He said, where people are making their mistake is they're trying to turn a culture into a religion when it doesn't even have all the parts necessary to be a religion. And its founder of this particular culture is telling you, this isn't a religion. I mean, even the Dalai Lama would tell you this isn't a religion. And I just find that to be interesting, because then you have a culture with no anchor, you know, no focal point or foundation.
There's no spiritual center, and they kind of leave it up to everybody.
Right.
And that's the whole idea behind Buddhism, is you're making it on your own merit. And they're very sincere, loving people, and they're so close, but yet they're so far. There's a lot to learn out there. You know, we talk about, you know, prayer lifestyle of the different religions. Well, pray to an idol or pray to a god that doesn't love them.
Right.
And what do normal Christians do? Are we spending time in prayer like many of our Eastern friends who are Christians are?
Well, that's one of the arguments about our counterpart brethren. And I say counterpart brethren because when we look at Islam, we're talking about the descendants of Ishmael. And when we look at, you know, when we become Christianity, we're talking about the descendants of Isaac, both of whom are Abraham's sons. And when we look at them, I will say this: Islamic practice is religious. They do the same things at the same time religiously, and there's a diligence in it. And even in Christian walk, we see we're supposed to meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. There are so many Christians that just, they scare me because they don't know their own Bible. So they don't know what God has told them they can do, what they can't do, what power he has vested in us. Just recently, a friend of mine was discussing in John 10:34, when the Pharisees and Sadducees try to basically accuse Jesus of blasphemy for saying he's the Son of God. And then Jesus says, does not your scripture state that ye are gods and the word cannot be broken? But you would condemn me for blasphemy, basically, for saying I'm the Son of God. Basically, they had not read before they approached him. And we see so much of that now, and so many Christians living defeated because they don't know what it means to be a child of God, the power that really is vested in us. And when Jesus died, we know he died for our sins and, you know, our healing and those wonderful benefits. But the part of it that we don't take hold of is he went to hell to get the dominion back and give it back to man. And when you look at other religions in other places, you have people kneeling before a Buddha statue when Buddha never told you to kneel before him. Really study it. He really was trying to get people to introspectively look at themselves, their state of humanity, and take accountability and responsibility for what it was they will or will not do in this lifetime.
Yeah.
But this does not equate to worshiping him. He never asked anyone to worship him. Don't ask him for anything. Don't pray. That's like a Greek praying to Socrates. Socrates was a teacher and a philosopher. He never told you to pray to him. That's not what you do. You know, and I just find it where Satan has used an art of manipulation to put the wool over so many people's eyes to think that they are to pray to this. No, Buddha was trying to direct you to a specific place and not to him. You know, he's just putting in his thought on, hey, maybe this might help, because apparently humanity has lost its mind. So this may help. We need to have a regimen. We need to have some type of routine. We need to have some sort of order. And ironically, Christianity, the Bible spells out the order. You know, Buddha is trying to make sense of confusion. God told you he's not the author of confusion. And so it just seems like they're trying to make a religion out of something that is not a religion. It is a list of questions that Buddha is asking and raising and asking people to examine themselves, you know, to see if they are who they are or not. Whereas Christ is saying, look, there's no way. He's right. You are right. There is a merit that you should have to earn, but you don't have to earn it because you can't earn it. The righteousness of God cannot be earned. There's nothing you can do. That's why I had to die for it. So let me hand it to you. And that fills the void that's totally missing. That's the foundation. Jesus is the foundation. I'm the void. I'm what's missing. Yeah, I think what you're doing is awesome. I'm excited for you.
It's been an amazing journey. I've thoroughly enjoyed going to different churches, speaking before different people, and seeing God work. There is such an intense hunger that I've seen in churches for the Lord, for God to change lives. And not only that, it's not just for in the walls of the four walls of the church. I'm excited seeing churches going out and doing outreach ministry, getting involved in home and foreign missions. So that's one thing that has been a real joy for me in my journey. And humbled that God would allow me to be a part of what's going on. And I'm excited. I am really excited because I can tell you from a bunch of other people who have trained. I went to pre-field orientation not too long ago, and 32 of the people that were like me going for 2 years. To different parts of the world. That God is calling people from every background, every age group. Me, I'm in my 50s. To do new works. I've seen more people who have been in ministry for years being called to do new works in ways, in creative ways. I met one couple that were restaurant owners. They're going out to the field. I knew another couple that were in Christian camping. Another person is a graduate of Team Challenge, and he's going to go help start a Team Challenge in another country. We are living in a time of unprecedented harvest, and we may not see it here in the United States yet, but it's happening around the world at an accelerated rate. And Myanmar is ripe for the harvest. Thailand is ripe for the harvest. Laos, Cambodia,
so many of the other nations in Asia Pacific, and Asia Pacific covers 900 million people. You're talking Korea, South Korea, Taiwan, Outer Mongolia, the 25,000 islands that make up 23 nations in the Pacific. God is doing a lot in just that one area alone, let alone in the African countries, in other Asian countries. God is just working, accelerating the harvest. And the country I'm going to be going to is ripe for it.
Yes, yes, it's being seen in different ways all over the world. I just want to go ahead and let our listeners know that we're getting close to our wrap-up time. And if you have any questions for our guest tonight, if you have any questions for us, then by all means, please do call in and talk with us. We are live, eloquently speaking, and would definitely love to hear from you. As our show is coming to a close, you still have time to reach us. But I just want to say, Tim, you are doing an amazing work, and I definitely look forward to keeping up with you, and I really think you should write a book. But I'm definitely looking forward to keeping up with you and keeping you and, you know, those that you will be working with lifted in prayer. My husband and I are definitely keeping you lifted in prayer and in partnership and whatnot. And definitely I'm going to stay in touch. And it's been amazing talking to you, especially about this particular subject, which we don't hear a lot about. This has been awesome. And again, if you're listening to us live on Eloquently Speaking with Tim O'Brien, please give us a call, 602-753-1671. Dial *1 to get in the queue. And if you're with us and you catch us within the next 2 minutes, we would definitely love to hear from you.
Amen. And Christian, thank you for the wonderful remarks. And you're right, this is a topic that we don't really hear a lot about. And I was hoping we would have more time to kind of get into, you know, missions, what missions is and why there's such a lack of missionaries from the African-American community. And we'll have to bring Tim back for another show. But, Tim, we do thank you so much for joining us, and we want to give you an opportunity to provide your contact information again in your website and how people can make a donation to support the work that you're doing and to even help, you know, help you make the transition to Asia Pacific for his coffee house.
Yes, if anybody would feel led to help support me, there's several different ways. You can go to giving.ag.org and simply click on wanting to do monthly support. And you'll have to use my last name, or my full name actually, and then my account number is 291-7243. You can also send checks to AGWM at 1445 North Boonville Ave, Springfield, Missouri, 65802. And if you could just put 291-7243-O'Brien in the memo line. And if anybody is in the area and is near New Ringgold, you can come here for the meal and for the concert. And if anybody's traveling far and wants to come, they can book rooms at Blue Mountain Christian Retreat.
And could you give the date again, the date and time for the concert and the dinner?
Yeah, the fundraiser is on October 12th at 5 p.m. That's the dinner. The concert by Praise You will be at 7. A love offering is going to be taken during the meal, and a separate one for praise during the concert. And I'm also going to have a raffle table out front. So different things from Asia, a few gift baskets and things like that if people want to give that way. Or if they want to pledge monthly, I will have pledge. And my number,
okay,
again, is 484-268-4994. And if people want to reach me by email, it's godlv, the letter U, T-O-O at gmail.com.
Okay. Well, this is bringing us to the end of Eloquently Speaking Open Mic. This is Stacey Lunsford, your host, and Christian Starr, my co-host, who did a wonderful job tonight. Her and Tim really shed a lot of light on what's happening in Asia Pacific, and specifically with different religions. And so I was really impressed in just listening to what you guys were saying. And I really hope that it made a difference in the lives of those that are listening. But Tim, we're going to have to bring you back on the show. And one of the things, to those of you that are still with us, one of the questions that I asked him during the interview process, I asked him what does he enjoy about his job. And he said, I simply love serving others and enjoy seeing them happy. I love training my staff, and not only job skills, but life and growing closer to God. And, Tim, I just thought that was a wonderful way to end the show, because that's everything that Eloquently Speaking stands for. Every Monday night when Christian and I get on this line, our desire is to serve God as we serve others, and we just want to see them happy as well. So how rewarding if we all got on the same page. You know how much ground we can cover.
Amen.
You know how many countries we could cover. And, I mean, how many cities. We could saturate the USA. You know, a lot of times people don't want to get involved in missions, and they say, well, we got enough stuff going on right here in the USA. And you know what? We do. But everybody wasn't called to the USA. God is calling people to the nations. And, you know, how many people have read, I have ordained the prophet unto the nations? Well, you only one person. You can't go to all of the nations. So I think it's only fair that as we close out, and Tim, I'm going to, you know, I didn't forget you could give the call to salvation. But as we close out, that those that God have called to these countries, especially these countries where the word of God is not welcome, where being a Christian is not welcome. I mean, we have pastors, we have evangelists and missionaries that are getting murdered every day, that are being placed in jail because they're preaching the gospel. And we have groups, the anti-military groups and their sponsors that, you know, ISIS and all of them other groups that are really making it difficult for Christians to preach the gospel. Some places you can't even be seen with a Bible because, you know, you'll get in trouble. So this definitely, Christian, I know your wheels are turning too, and I know we're coming to the end, but this really, really got me charged. And so, and I love missions.
Jesus tells us to go.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does. And you know what? You can't go. I mean, God will make a way. But you know what? It's shows like this. And bringing awareness to the community. You know,
yes,
we need to help each other. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we can't go physically, but you could go, your prayers can go. They can't go to Asia Pacific physically, but they could give you a donation to say, hey, I want to help the cause. So, again,
amen.
If you are listening, thank you so much. Tim O'Brien was with us tonight. And if you would like to follow up with Tim, he is a member of the Eloquently Speaking writing community. And today I put them in a Rise and Shine for Jesus ministry community. Please feel free to present any questions you may have. And if you would like to make a donation to his ministry, that information is on the message board as well. And Tim, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do closing prayers. I'll do the invitation to discipleship and then give your closing prayers, and we're going to close out. Okay. You there, Tim?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Shall I go ahead and pray?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Lord Jesus, I ask for those who have heard tonight's talk, have heard what you can do to change people's lives, Lord, and that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can truly go to the Father except through you. Lord, I pray for those people tonight that have heard and don't know you. I pray that they would give their hearts to you, Lord Jesus. Don't know, Lord. Just simply ask, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner and I need your help and I need your salvation. I've messed up my life, but I simply need you, Lord Jesus. And that you would receive his salvation, that he went to the cross and died for you. And that you're special, and God loves you with a love that's eternal. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters who have heard this night. I pray that they would heed the call, whether to tell their neighbor about you or help send someone across the world to take the gospel to a people that they do not know. Lord God, I ask if anybody who's been or needs healing, Lord God, that you would touch them by your Spirit, but it says, by your stripes we are healed. Thank you, Lord, for going to the cross for us. Thank you for doing so much for us. And I pray that you would continue the works of this ministry. Bless my sisters on this radio show. And bless those who are hearing this message tonight. And I just pray that you're motivated to action. By your Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Since that you hung in there with us with the calls, and we thank you so much for your time. You're listening to Eloquently Speaking Open Mic. This is Stacey Lunsford and Christian Starr, and we ask that you join us next Monday. Our theme is going to be back to school, and we're going to be discussing children, parents, and how we can all come together and make this school year a successful year for both students and parents. And we're going to be dealing with some of those areas where, you know, kids are, both parents and children are affected by the spiritual warfare. Our kids need to be covered today more than ever. And so we thank you. If you're interested in being on our panel or if you have something special that God has placed on your heart in regards to our youth and not just those that are in elementary school, high school, and middle school, but also for our college students. A lot of times they face, especially if they're believers, they go away to college and they're away on their own for the first time. And believe me, the enemy is waiting, you know, to bamboozle them. So we have so many areas where we really can be praying for our young people and our young adults that are in school. So please join us next Monday, same time, 9 p.m. And if you have any ideas for the show or if you would like to be a featured guest or if you are an author, please get in contact with Christian Starr or get in contact with myself, Stacey Lunsford. And we thank you so much for joining us tonight, Tim. And we will definitely be in touch with you. And we will be praying for your trip to Asia Pacific, but your most recent event that's coming up for Blue Mountain, I will definitely be there to support you and to meet Prasia in person and get some of that good food. So everyone, have a blessed night, and thank you for joining us. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you.